Welcome to Double Fries, No Slaw. It is Thursday evening after a week off. No pop-up episode in that week off either, like I thought we would probably end up doing. But after a week off, we are back with preview episodes. Florida State welcomes the Fighting Walt Bells, UMass to town this weekend in a game that a lot of folks have been waiting for a long time. And if you haven't been waiting for it for a long time, you've probably been waiting for it since the Jacksonville State game. So anyway, a game that people are excited about for different reasons. Florida State, UMass, we're going to preview it here, talk a little bit about the team up to this point at the midway point of the season. But Richie, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Yeah, man. And, you know, Walt Bell and Dante Pippleton both making their return to Tallahassee. And I've watched Walt Bell and Dante Pippleton run offense in Doak Campbell Stadium many of times. And I can say it's going to be a relaxing episode because I'm not overly worried.
Yeah, no, it's definitely feels good to be going up against those guys as opposed to having them on your staff. UMass is pretty terrible. We'll get into them in just a little bit, but not terrible. Did you like that transition? Guthrie's in Tallahassee. When you are up there this weekend, when you go up for the game or just anytime you're in Tallahassee, go ahead and hit Guthrie's. Get your box, double fries, no slaw. Visit both their locations at 1818 West Tennessee Street and 2550 North Monroe. Tell them that double fries, no slaw sent you. All right, Richie, let's jump into this game. Or no, we're going to talk a couple other things. A couple more things before we get into that. Little recruiting news this weekend. Do you want to break the news? I mean, it's been broken. You're not breaking news, but you know, update the people on Florida State with some not great recruiting news this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on Alubal already, and you know, with almost immediately after he decommitted from Florida State, the next day he committed to Georgia, which was no surprise at all. And then Florida State did lose a four-star defensive end, Travion Williams. And if you've been listening to this show, that may come as a surprise because we don't really dive deep into it. But if you follow, you know, the 247s of the world, you knew this was trending that way. He had been to Mississippi State, I believe, two games in a row, and he's going back this week for his third straight Mississippi State home game. Kids from Mississippi are really tough to hang on to. You know, people remember Charles Cross, who Willie Taggart got to commit early, a great eval, blew up to be a five-star prospect, and the season didn't go well, and he ended up at Mississippi State. I think the last, you know, true elite Mississippi prospect Florida State landed was Cam Akers, which was a great job by Jimbo Fisher to pull that one off, because most people, even on coming down to signing day, had questions. But yeah, Travion Arnold is out now. And excuse me, Travion Williams, not Arnold. He's out. So it'll be interesting. And who knows, in a few weeks, we'll probably get, you know, a Newberg or maybe a Zach Blostein. Shout out to him for getting full-time status with 247 and do a deep dive in recruiting. But yeah, not great news, but there's a lot of good news with prospects, some LSU prospects that Florida State is looking to flip now that Edo is gone. So check out, you know, whatever recruiting site you guys go to for that. And we'll make sure to get an expert on in the next few weeks. So not great week, but still overall pretty good momentum for Florida State.
Yeah, don't check out just any recruiting site. I mean, they don't pay us to say this, but 247 definitely is, like, I mean, there's a reason we keep having those guys back on over and over again. So anyway, all right, so that's our recruiting update really quickly. Richie put this in the outline, and I love this. Oh, okay, one more piece of news before we kind of get into stuff. Jermaine Johnson, midseason All-American through CBS. I commented this when it was announced the other day. I don't remember if I did it from my account or the pod account, but it did it from somewhere. Is he the best player in the ACC? Like, I know I'm a homer. I know that he's our only good player. Like, but like, is he the best player in the ACC? Like, who else is up there? Like, who's the top five?
It's tough because I mean, obviously, with different positions, Kenny Pickett is everyone. You know, he's skyrocketing up the Heisman, you know, rankings right now, so to speak. But if you're just looking at best player who's making the biggest impact on his team, there's probably other guys in that realm of Johnson or close to, but he's definitely on pace to be the ACC defensive player of the year, right? No. It's so hard to judge defense versus offense unless it's like a dominant guy like Aaron Donald or, you know, Ndamukong Suh, who's just clearly the best player. Johnson's really, really good, but comparing him to a guy like Kenny Pickett with the season he's having, it's tough to say. But defensively, I'd take Jermaine Johnson with my first pick in the ACC redraft right now.
Yeah, no, he has definitely been a massive hit for Mike Norvell, and that kind of takes us into our next segment, which this is one that I love. That Ricky kind of threw.
TJ, you're on mute again.
I think I need a new mic. This happens way too often. But it takes us to our next segment. Again, Richie put this together. We don't have to do every single player, but let's talk through some hits and misses through this transfer portal cycle. You can list guys off. Jermaine Johnson, massive hit. Probably one of the biggest in the entire country. Best player on Florida State's team this year. And that's not saying that Florida State is – you know, I think the roster is performing right now better than maybe we've anticipated. And then we got off to a rocky start, tough start. But that's not even like, oh, he's just top. But he's that good.
And make no mistake, he would be having a lot of meaningful snaps on the best defense in the country and the number one team in the country right now had he stayed at Georgia. He made it clear he left because he wanted more snaps. He wanted more tape. He never questions his ability. He just wanted to say, let me show what I can do on if you need me for 70 snaps in a game. But he was absolutely in that rotation at Georgia last year. I think he had 6 or 7 sacks. They would have welcomed him back gladly. But that's, first of all, that just shows what a ridiculous talent level Georgia has and how unfair that is right now. But it also shows that
lost the best player in the ACC and they're still the best team, the best defense in the country.
Exactly. That's where they're at right now. That's where we hope to get back to one day. We'll see. But it's definitely no slight on anyone on Florida State's roster or the ACC. Jermaine Johnson had that potential. Now that he's had the opportunity, he's proven, he's that good.
He's pretty nasty. All right, who else is in there? We can start from the bottom. Yeah. Start from the bottom over here. First transfer of the cycle. I've been really, really early. Early in bowl season even, which I know we weren't bowling, but December 3rd, Mackenzie Milton transfers to FSU. Would you call this a hit or a miss?
I'd say it's a hit because you were taking a gamble on his athletic ability while also understanding it. He's probably a really good locker room guy, and I think that's kind of what's worked out. You know, he had his chance. I don't think Milton's bitter that – I think he kind of accepted now from this point out, this is Jordan Travis's team. In the back of his mind, he's also probably thinking – he's not been healthy a lot. So if Travis goes down, I think he's going to have the right mindset to stay ready. But I think from a mental aspect, he's probably helped Jordan Travis a lot. So he's not some, you know, home run hire, obviously, or home run hit out of the portal. But I think I don't know if I'd call it a hit, but it's definitely a net positive.
Yeah, no, I'm right on with you there. I think that I don't think you could call it a negative. And his would really depend on what your expectations were. Yeah. Were your expectations that he was going to be 2017 Mackenzie Milton? Okay, well, then it's a miss, right? But if, you know, and some FSU fans, and I was probably part of it when he first committed, like kind of thought that, right? But then as you start to get more reports and spring happens and you realize that's not what the case is going to be, I would say he's been a net positive on the team. I don't know that I'd call him a miss or a hit. Like I think that, but I do think he's been a net positive on the team. Like he didn't come in and just immediately be a cancer and be like, oh, I didn't win this job. Like screw all y'all, you know, came in, made us all believe against Notre Dame at the end of that game. We'll forever love him for how fun that was at the end of that. And then
that overtime. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a blast. That was
a lot of fun. And so, you know, I don't know that I'd call him a hit or a miss, but certainly a net positive.
Yeah.
Andrew Parchment, wide receiver, from Kansas. This one's interesting. I'll go first on this one. I've got this in wait and see mode. I think he's done some things well. But I don't know that he's been your number one guy. I mean, he caught a nice touchdown against Notre Dame. Like, you know, he's done some things well. But I don't know. What do you think? I'm in wait and see mode. I'm six games in. I don't know yet.
So I'm kind of with you right now. I'd say he's a miss, but you know, there are 6 games left. So through 6 games, I'd say he's a miss just because you thought you were getting a true wide receiver one, you know, a veteran player who could come in and be that go-to guy on, you know, 3rd and 6 or whatever it may be. and he's just not proven to be that. And there's been, you know, reports, and many outlets have reported this, so this is not speculation, that his practice habits aren't the best, and that's why Kansas wasn't really sad to see him go. Potential's there to still make a difference this year, but through six games, I'd say it's a miss. So I'm kind of with you, TJ. Wait and see, but I'm not feeling great about it.
Yeah, I mean, he caught a touchdown on his only catch in the Notre Dame game. Had a pretty good game against Louisville.
It was.
Five receptions for 86 yards and a touchdown. So played well there in that kind of comeback. And then they don't have him with any stats for UNC. I just admittedly probably should have done a little bit more research here.
Well, freshman Malik LeClaine has taken his starting job. So
yeah, did he not play against UNC? Is that
I can't recall if he did or not, but he may not have had any targets. So he might have played just with no targets again. But yeah, we also only threw 13 passes against UNC, so yeah, we ran the heck of the ball.
Yeah. So probably play, but didn't make a big difference there. Yeah. So yeah, I'd say it's a slight miss, but again, I'm leaning more towards miss, but I've been waiting.
If he has 70 yards and two touchdowns and win at Clemson next week, we're singing a different tune.
He's a hit.
So yeah, so that's what I said. It's through six games, and those first four games, not to sound like a cop out, the first three and a half games was a different team than the last two and a half games, and we'll see if that continues. But again, we'll see.
For sure. All right, let's jump up a little bit. Jamie Robinson, safety from South Carolina. Thoughts there?
Hit man. He's really, this secondary is not great by any means. They look a lot better than last year, and I think he's a big part of that. I'm not saying he's going to be all ACC or anything like that, but for this roster, what we had, what we needed, I'd say he's a hit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think he's been really, really good. Jarquez McClellan, cornerback from, where is he at? He was at Arkansas.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's like, he's getting a decent bit of snaps, but not really making a difference. But I don't think we brought him in as a difference maker. I think we brought him in as depth. So I think he's on track, but not necessarily a hit or miss right now.
Yeah. I don't know that he's done enough to really classify as much one way or the other. All right, we can go with another one here. Kier Thomas, South Carolina, defensive tackle for the Noles.
Massive hit. This defensive line, it's wild when you think you lost, you know, multiple draft picks from last year's line that was not any good at all. And this defensive line has been the strength of the team through six games. And Kier Thomas is a big reason, and Jermaine Johnson. So those thank God for the transfer portal when it comes up front this year on the defensive line.
Yeah. Let's do one more, unless you have anybody else that we can kind of get into. I mean, there are other guys too, but yeah, I think they're all kind of wait and see. But Dylan Gibbons.
On the field, I think he's been good, or, you know, he's what we needed on the field, but I'll say he's a hit because of such the positive PR aspect Florida State got from him and what he did with Timothy, and now big man, big heart with Josh Newberg. And from all accounts, all the players like him. He recently got engaged. All his teammates were super happy. So it's kind of like Milton, but more so on the playing field as well. So definite net positive. He's definitely helping out the offensive line. He may not be great. He's average at best in the ACC. But when you look at the totality of what he brought to Florida State, I'm happy.
Yeah, no. I think he's a hit on the field too. I mean, Florida State's offensive line, you know, we talked about this with Milton. But same thing here. It's what your expectations were. Well, he raised the floor of the offensive line from a leadership perspective. You know, obviously everything off the field is just tremendous and means so much more than anything on the field anyway, but on the field, hit or miss, this guy was a hit. You know, he raises the floor. He provides leadership at a position that FSU has struggled with more than any other for the last 4, 5, 6 years since, you know, even that 2014 year wasn't great. Just had a lot of good athletes around it. They could kind of overcome it, but he's a massive hit. And so out of all of them, I mean, I think we did a pretty good job. I think if you can go 50% in the transfer portal, that's pretty good, you know, and we went well over that with the big guys that we mentioned there. And then, you know, that doesn't
even count like guys like Jordan Travis, who's a transfer as well, but not this year.
Correct. Know? He's not this year's transfer. But there are more.
What would our record be without any transfers, just guys we signed?
We could fill a roster. I mean, you have to have a certain number of players for the ACC to let you do this. Yeah. If you don't have enough, then you're not playing. So Jerrion Jones is a guy that transferred it.
Another one,
big interception last week against North Carolina.
Fabian
Lovett, there's Miko Dotson. Like, there's a lot of guys that, we wouldn't have anybody on this team.
Jayshon Corbin.
Yeah. Devontae Love Taylor, yeah. So
thank God for the portal, man.
Where would we be without it? I mean, we probably wouldn't even have a roster. I don't know what to say.
We'd be UMass.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank God we're not them. So, all right. That was fun. That was a good, I like that segment, that hit or miss of the portal. So this is a good one. We can skip to this. I like this. I like the way you titled this, State of the State. As crazy as it sounds, is FSU the most stable ground in terms of the future currently in the Big Three? I want to tell you this, and then I want to get your answer because you wrote that. So I'll let you answer it first. But I legitimately asked a Gator fan this week, because we know we're more stable ground than Miami, right? Yeah. But yeah, the argument there is Dan or Mike, right? And what does the future hold? But I asked a Gator fan this week if they'd rather have Mullen or Norvell. No lie. And they absolutely told me I'd rather have Norvell. And
really?
Their reasoning for that was Mullen may be a better coach, right? Might be.
He is for up to Mullen, this point in their career.
Yeah, maybe. But their point was going forward. Like, down the road, Mullen – it turns around. But we know what Mullen's ceiling is. And we know that he is an 8-4 to 10-2 coach, and he's never going to be any better than that ever. And that's fine. Like, winning 3-4 games a year, we'd probably take that right now. Like, if you guaranteed me 8 or 9 wins, I'd be like, dude, it'd be so nice to just win most Saturdays again. Like, now from what we've been at. But this Gator fan told me, but there's the chance that Norvell's not full of crap, and then he is going to figure this thing out at Florida State. And so he's like, give me the chance for greatness. Like, because I know that I'm never getting greatness with Mullen. So just move. I'd rather just have Norvell, right? Like, if I could pick one or the other right now, just give me Norvell. Because at least I have a chance of him turning around. Now, who knows if he does or not, right? Like, obviously, we think he's the guy. We want him to be the guy. But, they're not so happy with the old Danny boy over there at UF.
They're really not. And when I typed this out, it was tough because I wasn't sure myself, which way I thought. I think we can all agree Miami's kind of out, right? Like, that's they're by far the worst shape of the Big Three. They have a lamed up head coach. They have the number 60 recruiting class in the country with 8 commits, most of them who are taking visits this week into other schools. They don't have a single commit with inside the 3 counties closest to Miami. That is a dumpster fire and a disaster. And it's weird because after we lost to Jacksonville State, we thought Miami's worlds ahead of us and Florida was, right? I feel like we've almost passed Miami to where we're going to be disappointed if we lose to them this year, TJ. And that's weird to say. Florida's still way ahead of Florida State, I think. But I think we're closing that gap. It's the uncertainty with Mullen that makes this question interesting. Because say they, I don't think they will, but say they upset Georgia and finish, 9-3. And then they fire Grantham and they somehow poach a guy like Dan Lanning, who's, defensive coordinator at Georgia, but everyone's splitting credit between him and Kirby Smart. And then all of a sudden Florida, gets things together. So Florida is still closer, I think, to being where the whole Big Three wants to be. But I do like Florida State's position right now where we are, just because, we know Norvell has at least another year. Recruiting momentum is going pretty well, depending on the season. We feel like the team's improving. Obviously, next week, Clemson will be a big test for the offense because Clemson's defense is still nasty. Their offense is not good at all, but it's so interesting to me because I don't know how to say it. I think Florida, if I could pick any place to be right now, I probably would pick Florida because you're one upset in one firing of a defense coordinator and hiring of an offense coordinator. Plus you have who I think is a legit Heisman caliber quarterback on your roster, and Dan Mullen refuses to play him, but we'll see if that changes with Georgia. But I do think Florida State's probably the safest bet, right? So Florida's your high risk. Florida State's kind of like a safe bet. And Miami's like that, buying Blockbuster stock in 2021.
Yeah, like, no, there is no doubt that Florida is the better team right now, the team that has more talent right now. The team, you know, so many cliches I could use. But I think you just know what you're getting with Mullen. And I think fans are tired of the
Mark Richt at Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah. They're tired of, I mean, Mullen won 10 games twice with Max players. Now he's about to go 8-4 in back-to-back years FSU soccer taking on the number seven team in the country and just scored in the first minute. This, Betta Olson, I think she transferred from UF, if I remember correctly. I think that's who that is. She's had 10 goals on the year, and again, just scored in the first minute against number seven UNC. Number seven UNC is impressive, but again, FSU soccer is number one overall. So that game,
they've lost one game in two seasons, which was on PKs.
Yeah, so pretty unreal. Where were we? Soccer just took me all.
Yeah, we're finishing up.
Oh, basically, state. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to lose to Georgia next weekend, so I'm not even worried about that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: they're better than us. They're more talented. Yeah. But if they play like you're putting a lot of ifs out there. But if their offense plays like it did against Kentucky, and their defense played against like it did against LSU. We play like we did against UNC. Oh, we're going to beat them. No, I'm not predicting all three of those things to happen, but two happen, it might be a close game.
Yeah.
You know, if one happens, it might not be a blowout, you know? So
my biggest worry is I feel very, very confident that Anthony Richardson will start that game. And I don't know if we have an answer for him right now at all.
I think we got the best player in the ACC playing on the defensive line. So
it's one side of the field though.
We might have to have him spy. Can a DN spy?
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, but we will obviously talk more about that game, more about, you know, UF as days go. All right. You mentioned this, Walt Bell and Dante Pimpleton. I don't know if he'll be playing video games or wearing an FSU uniform, but they both roll into town this weekend. UMass is the 128th ranked team, according to the S&P Plus. So there are 129 teams. Who's the 129? UConn probably, because they beat UConn. Would be my guess there.
This week. But, I know they're bad.
Yeah, about as bad as it gets. UMass, absolutely terrible. Just a game that Florida State fans should look forward to, because it's been a long time that we've been able to just beat somebody into the ground, and that should absolutely be what happens this week, is that Florida State should absolutely beat UMass into the ground. They're averaging 16.5 points per game. They are terrible on third down at 31%. They, you know, their touchdown interception ratio is 6-5. They're not scoring a lot of rushing touchdowns either, obviously, only getting about 2.5 scores a game, and then, you know, not even 300 yards per game. So they're not a good team. Their turnover ratio is pretty poor. What are your thoughts on this UMass game as we get kind of close to this weekend?
It's just what this team needs. Get ready for Clemson. And, not to bring up a negative here. I almost wish we had played UMass the week we played Jacksonville State, and we played Jacksonville State this week, because I think you're looking at a totally different season. This UMass team is bad. You could legit not game plan for them all week, and you're going to win the game. It may not be pretty, but there's zero chance Florida State's losing this game. And, I hope they're treating it like this was Clemson, because that's what they need to do, because it's a game again. And I'm sure Mike Norvell knows there's no way we lose to these guys, but he probably thought that to some extent against Jacksonville State, and it hurt him. It cost him, greatly. Just a bad team. They're the eighth worst team in the country in yards per game on offense. And they are the eighth worst team in rush yards allowed per an attempt, which is what Florida State wants to do. They're the only team that's in the bottom eight in both categories. It's the perfect tune-up game, so to speak, that you would normally play, week one or week zero.
Yeah. So, you're glad to have this game coming in. You're glad to have a team that you should just absolutely dominate in every stretch of the imagination. No real chance for a letdown like Florida State had against Jacksonville State. Everything was prime for that too. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the emotional week one, the short week, a Jacksonville State team that took a lead into the half against you the year before, you know, like, oh man, I can't believe that, you know, Norvell let this team lose. I mean, they almost lost to him last year. What do you mean you can't believe it? Yeah. You know, like they should have lost last year. If he doesn't switch out Travis for Blackman, they do lose. So what do you mean you can't believe it?
And
they
should have lost to
ULM the year before.
Yeah. This Jacksonville State team would beat UMass by, you know, probably 24, 28 points.
Yeah.
They would handle them. Yeah.
So you'll have UMass coming in this week. You know, breaking down a lot of what they do is pretty tough. And that's why this will be a little bit shorter review. There are no UMass beat writers that could have reached out to and tried to find. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is a team that Florida State needs to run it up on. The spread is 35.5. ESPN gives us a 97% chance to win this game. It's a game that you would hope that Jordan Travis gets out of in the second or third, or, you know, the third or fourth quarter. I don't know that you want to bring Milton in just because of injury. I think you try and get Purdy some reps but you got to take care of business to do that. You know, you'd like to do that, done that against Jacksonville State. You'd like to do that against, you know, bad teams, but this will be the only game you get a chance to do that in. You know, the rest of the way there won't be the chance to do that unless we're just down by a ton to somebody else, which, you know, I don't necessarily see that happening either. No. And so, man, excited to get to this weekend, excited to get to this game, excited to, you know, see this game and see kind of how Florida State responds after a bye week, after an emotional win. I mean, that UNC game was the first SOD game we've won in how long? When was the last time we won a SOD?
Were we underdogs against Louisville with Willie in 18?
Oh, man, that's an embarrassing SOD game if it is, but possibly.
This is where the program is right now.
Yeah, maybe that was it. But you had the bye week. You had a week to stop reading your own press clippings as much as a 2-4 team can. The Jacksonville State game will forever haunt us because if we were to have won this, we'd be sitting at 4-3 after this win. I talked with Allie about this a little bit on Monday. Did you know that after this win, Mike Norvell and Dan Mullen are both going to have the same record over their last 10 games at 4-6?
Regardless of FBS, FCS, anything?
Oh, I mean, last 10 games, 4-6.
Oh, you know, wow.
For both of them. Jesus. Yeah. So, like, there's no caveats.
Clemson and they lose to Georgia, watch out.
And if you actually, I actually did do some, if you just did Power Five games, FSU is 3-5 in their last 8, where UF is 2-6. So, UF's last.
Well, that's two Alabamas, two LSUs.
Two Alabamas, two LSUs, a Kentucky. An Oklahoma, two Alabamas, two LSUs, a Kentucky and Oklahoma. So that is a good lineup. Don't get me. Well, those LSU teams were not good. Neither was Kentucky.
Good. Yeah.
And OU, you know, bowl game, but whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, props to them for playing Alabama close twice. That's really impressive. They celebrated that.
Friends, yeah, they got the banners hanging up in their man caves.
They celebrated that very well. You know, mixed review from practice. You put some notes in here. Norvell says it's been up and down, hoping that we see them more prepared than they were for Jacksonville State. But like you said, I think that just kind of will impact the final score of the game, as opposed to the actual result. How do you see the game going? When do we get to start to pull some starters?
This team is showing sustained progress since the second half of that Louisville game. Mike Norvell, again, he was really high on the Tuesday practice. He was really disappointed on the Wednesday practice. Jimbo did that a lot at Florida State, so you never really knew. He'd be like, oh, great practice. Oh, the worst. I don't know what yesterday was, but I don't know. Like, it's hard to tell. I do think Mike Norvell, he's been around long enough that he has enough people within the program in his ear that he's going to know the Walt Bell story, right? And sure. Dante Pimpleton, he's just a casualty of it because no one cares about Dante Pimpleton. No one even knew who he was when he was here, right? So it doesn't matter. I do think we're going to come out, and this just might be the eternal optimist in me. I think we're going to come out and look like we should against a bad team. Go to half, something like, you know, 24-27-0, score on the opening drive of the second half, and then play the backups the rest of the game. Something we haven't seen since really – you know, what, 2013, because 2014, all the games were tight. But yeah, that's what I am expecting to see. And the biggest thing I want, just play an injury-free game. There's no point in anybody, even a backup, getting injured in a game like this. So, you know, that obviously there's no control. There's no preparation you can do for that outside of, you know, your normal strength and conditioning. That's what I want to see. You know, worst case, they treat it like Jacksonville State. They win 38-17, and we're like, okay, cool, we won by 21, but this was not a step forward.
Yeah. As bad as Clemson has been this year, and they've been really bad. If you look at their stats, they have not been a good team, and we will obviously spend, hopefully, this game on Saturday will be so boring that we can spend all day Sunday and all day Thursday of next week breaking down the Clemson game, previewing it, talking about our chances. Clemson has been terrible against Power 5 opponents. They've scored 3 points, 14 points, 27 points. That was in overtime. And then 19-17. They beat Georgia Tech by 6. They beat Boston College by 6. And they beat Syracuse by 3. Could easily, they've won 3 games by 1 score. Yeah. They could easily have 3 more losses. They've not blown anybody out except for South Carolina State, in which they did score 49-3. So as bad as Clemson has been, when they have played just an absolutely god-awful team, they have dominated, and they have run it down their throat. And that's kind of what we need to do as well. Clemson's not good. I don't know that – I don't certainly wouldn't call us at 2-4 good.
No.
We're playing a really bad team, and it needs to be a blowout. So you want to make some picks? You want to do some picks on this?
Yeah, you want to do this game, then jump into Prize Picks?
Let's do – yeah, give me your prediction on what you think's happened in this game.
All right. So, like I said, I'm the eternal optimist, and I just really do not like Walt Bell. I hated the way he handled the Sam Howell situation. I understand why he did it, but I still hate it as a Seminole. Pimpleton, sorry, man, you're just a casualty of war at this point. I do think Florida State's going for the jugular in this one. Listen, twice out of 4 games last year, UMass got shut out. One of them by TJ's alma mater, Liberty, and also by Georgia Southern. They did not score a single offensive point against FAU, losing that game 24-2 to Willie Taggart. I am going to call that Chip Baker is going to present Adam Fuller with a spiked baseball, Florida State 49, UMass goose egg.
Woo, 49-0. I like the 49, but I don't know that we get the goose egg. I'm going to go 49-13. I got a couple busts in coverage. Like, I just, you know, until I see it, I mean, I hope you're right, but I got 49-13. So I like your offensive prediction. They get a couple of scores, maybe a touchdown, a couple of field goals, and call it a day. Until I see us just absolutely stop somebody every single drive, like, it's tough for me to predict it. So I'm going to say they get a couple drives on us, maybe even late, maybe with some scrubs in, maybe it's like 35-3 at half or something. And then, you know, second half is just scrubs in there.
In the odds of a shutout, if you look at analytics, like power rankings, FPI, SP plus, whatever it may be, they got to be less than 5% probably for that Florida State actually pitches the shutout. But again, might as well call my shot. It's UMass. Who cares? No one's going to listen to this episode 2 weeks from now. We got Clemson next week, so I'm ready for that.
So, yeah, give me the Noles 49-13. But I like your prediction. I like your 49-0. Okay. All right. So a ton of you guys have checked this out. If you haven't, I don't know what you're waiting on. Go sign up for the Prize Picks app, PrizePicks. Sign up for the Prize Picks app. That is daily fantasy simplified, and it's really one of the neatest things that we have. You can use code NOSLAW for 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Code NOSLAW, NOSLAW. Harlan's not on here. He's at like church softball league or something, but he's making tons of money on like esports and all this other stuff. And obviously, we're going to
pick off his wedding already.
Like, yeah, we're going to pick some stuff from some non-esports stuff, but some FSU stuff, some different things kind of going on. So go check out the Prize Picks app. basketball's going on, hockey's going on, the World Series starts next week. Obviously, sports college football is our big thing. You know, tonight is a sports equinox. There's four different pro sports on tonight.
Yeah, four major sports. Never, yeah.
That's happened 25 times in history. So you got NHL, yeah. NBA, MLB, and NFL all on the same night. Could happen again on Saturday or Sunday, but does not happen often. So, man, go sign up for the Prize Picks app. Make some money while these sports are going on. Pick over-unders on your favorite players or your least favorite players. It doesn't really matter. So go check
and
out
legal, the Prize legal app. In all 50 states.
Yeah, go get the app. It's daily fantasy, so it's not like a sports book or anything like that. You can just play anywhere, anytime. All right, did you recap the picks? Did you total everything up?
I'm going to get around to that, TJ, one day.
Okay, I just didn't know. It wasn't in the...
I would have had it in the show notes if we'd had that.
Oh, okay.
No, it's been a long week. Long story short, wife's car's in the shop. We've been carpooling all week. It's been a disaster, but we will get into the picks for this week again. Prize Picks, use that code and they will match you up to $100, guys. You can't beat that. This first one's really tricky, TJ. I'm gonna let you go first.
Is that your way of saying you don't have the totals?
Yeah, I don't have the totals, and okay. I have no idea about this first one either. Jordan Travis, 2 pass touchdowns.
Oof, I got over. Give me over on this.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we're going to try and throw the ball this year going forward. So I think he's got to try and get him into a rhythm this game. Give me over. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I like a push here, but you can't. If you're taking a push, you might as well take the over.
Oh, man, I'm going to take the under. I just think Mike Dorvell is going to say, listen, Jordan Travis, you're going to throw the ball maybe 8-9 times today. He's just going to establish the rush. UMass rush defense is so bad, giving up 5.8 yards a carry. I think Norvell's going to just try and feast on that. Next one, 207.5 pass yards for Jordan Travis. This might be a little contradictory, but I will take the over. I think he's going to hit a big play or two, but, you know, just banking on, you know, an 80-yard reception and then a couple other, you know, chunk plays that just don't find the end zone. I do think if we're inside the red zone, Norvell's just going to run it. I don't think he's going to try and get cute and throw it. So I'll take the over on 207.5 pass yards.
See, I kind of like the under on that. I know we're backwards on this, but I kind of like the under on this.
No sense.
We've had some really, really short passing touchdowns because they'll be like third and goal from the 8 where you just know we're not going to run it. And so, like, yeah, that's kind of where I think that some of our – now, obviously, if you're counting on, you know, a 60-yard pass that gets tackled to the 5, and I'm counting on a 60-yard run that gets tackled to the 5. So, like, it's just all luck anyway. He'll probably hit.
It's UMass. What are we doing here?
Good news is we're picking 4 different things between these two. So one of us is going to be right on one of them, you know, or on both of them at least. So
yeah.
I guess we both can't go over. But give me the under here. I like the over on the next one, though. I'll go ahead and say it before you even do it. That way.
All right. So I'll give you the over on Jayshon Corbin, 92.5 rushing yards. This is the hardest one for me because I don't think he's going to play much in the second half. But if he busts 1 60-yard run, he's going over, right? I'm just going to keep the trend alive and take the under.
Under you.
So when we do catch up on these, it's going to be interesting. Ontario Wilson, 46.5 receiving yards. I'll take the under.
Yeah, what's tough is if he sets up any of those plays like they had last week, you know, to him, streak in the middle. I wouldn't think we run that twice. I think we'd maybe save that for something like Clemson. But, yeah, I'll take under here.
All right. And then the TJ special, Jameis Winston, Monday Night Football against Seattle in the Caesars Pizza Dome, whatever they're calling that thing nowadays, 215.5 pass yards. It's your boy, man. I'll let you go first.
So, man, when start the year, he had 3 straight games under 200 passing yards. He was just incredibly efficient, and they weren't throwing the ball down the field. Giants, 226 against
Washington. Your mic just went out, TJ.
Dude, that's so annoying. I'm so sick of that thing happening. But, he had 279 against Washington. Seattle's not good. I mean, their defense is not good. Wilson being out, that, you know, and the Saints do have a good defense. I like him to go over here. I mean, I think they're going to throw the ball more, not because they have to, but just because I think they'll set up the run and they like to take deep shots with him, and you know, he's had a really good year so far, and so I think they'll continue that.
Do you have any idea when he's getting his top two receivers back?
That's what's kind of crazy, is he's put together a pretty impressive year.
Yeah.
You know, 60% completion, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I know that I am the homer that makes excuses for every one of the interceptions, but the first interception was the last play of a half, just like throw it up and – or no, it, like with less than a minute to go in a half on a 3rd and 15, and it was intercepted at like the 10 and resulted in no points the other way.
Well, one of his touchdowns was a Hail Mary that's never gets converted in the NFL. So those two kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that, you know. And then the other one, the one that he just threw against Washington this week, his offensive lineman like stepped on him while he was making the throw.
Broke his ankle.
Yeah, so I think he's been pretty good this year. Yeah. Like his both of his mistakes. I mean, you throw an interception because your offensive lineman steps backs up into you. Like, it's tough to be like, how could you do that? You know. So he's been much more careful with the ball. Obviously, his yardage is down because of that, but they have the best running game he's ever had with the craziest weapon ever in Alvin Kamara. So,
yeah, I'm going to say over. Seattle has the 28th ranked passing defense in the country. I think Sean Payton, Monday Night Football in the dome, I think he's going to go for fireworks. So I'll take the over there as well.
All right. I think that's it for us. So again, go download the Prize Picks app, check it out, grab that. Use code NOSLAW for a 100% match up to $100 on your deposit. Basketball time, just about. You want to tease the basketball a little bit? Yeah, it's coming soon.
Yeah, 20 days. Just real quick this week, the top 25 preseason came out for both the men's and women's basketball teams. Florida State comes in at number 20, and the women's team with Coach Sue Semrau returning after Brooke Wyckoff did a phenomenal job in the interim at 16th. And the men picked second to finish in the ACC behind Duke. And stay tuned. We may have a little something for y'all the next week. I know we missed a pop-up show last week, but we might make up for it with a TLC double C heavy talk this week, potentially.
Okay, cool. So the other thing, we'll go around the horn real quick. We'll recap all this on Sunday. I'm trying to think of what day stuff's happening. Obviously, Florida State plays UMass on Saturday at noon. Soccer is playing right now, or if you're listening to this on Friday morning, they played last night at 8 p.m. When we signed off, they had a 1-0 lead against number 7 UNC. They then play Duke on Sunday. So go right down the road from Chapel Hill to Durham to play Duke on Sunday, October 24th at 2 p.m., volleyball plays a couple this weekend. They go up against Virginia Tech that game is on Friday. And then they go up against Wake Forest on Sunday. Men's tennis is participating in the ITA Regional Southeastern Regional Championships in Gainesville. Men's swimming and diving is going up against Georgia Tech. And shout out to Petra of FSU women's tennis, was a finalist in the Southeastern Regional Championships last week, and she'll advance to the next round there. So shout out to her and the FSU women's tennis team as well. You have any shout outs? It's a lot to go through. Everything's kind of in full swing right now.
Right.
You have any shout outs or anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, real quick, very special day for my family. I put it out there earlier today. Be my dad's 79th birthday today. And, we're beyond the mourning stage. We just remember the good things nowadays. And it makes it even more special. It's my sister and my brother-in-law Joe's 3rd wedding anniversary. They chose to get married on my dad's birthday, knowing the stress, potential stress of the emotions of doing that on his birthday. But it was phenomenal. So I got able to catch with my mom and my sister today. Got to remember my dad. So again, a great day and just excited to get to this weekend. Hopefully a short day of work tomorrow and into Florida State UMass.
Heck yeah, man. Well, shout out to your family. Shout out to Pops and your sis. Glad you guys are able to have a good day in spite of how tough a day it could have been. I don't know that I have any shout outs. Shout out to my wife and kids just for letting me do this too many nights a week. So shout out them.
Exactly.
All right, man. We will see you guys on Sunday recapping, hopefully, Florida State's third win in a row, their fourth week in a row without a loss, and then take you right into that Clemson week next week. Thank you for hanging out. If you could subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, like us on Facebook, interact with us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places, we would certainly appreciate it. For all the guys behind the scenes, Harlan Harris, Brian, Ed, Tyler and Vic, our interns, Mike and Dustin, and then myself, TJ Pinger and Richie Barnes. We appreciate you guys for your support. We will see you on Sunday. Until then, go Noles.